This is Derek Barry. I'm with Craig Scriven. Craig, you have nominated to run for the seat of Traeger, is that correct?
That's correct, yes, as an independent.
Okay. Tell me more. Why are you nominating? What's the bit of background behind this? You're running as an independent, I'm
assuming. Running as an independent, yes. I have checked out the parties, and the problem with the parties are Traeger is so diverse that the Labor Party, yes, it supports the workers, but their farming policy isn't quite there. The LNP, they're there for the farmers, but for the working man isn't quite there either. So I believe that One Nation aren't running at all, so I can't really comment on that. So running as an independent, look, you're not going to be one of the big ones, but you are going to be able to have a say on the matters that affect your area.
What are those matters?
The clinch point at present, now, if we talk local issues here, we've got the youth crime issues. Some of the comments that have been thrown around at present, I personally believe are bordering on stolen generation situations. We have to engage with the youth crime issue here. We have to engage with the parents as well as the children. Being a foster parent or an emergency foster carer, I understand that the children, yes, the adolescent children are doing wrong, but it's actually they don't know any better. Mm-hmm. So we can engage with the children, but we have to engage with the parents as well. So rather than just throwing money at the kids and continue to throw money at the kids, we have to find a program. Now, be that engaging the Aboriginal, the native title holders as well, get them involved in it. I do understand that just segregates out Indigenous. There are non-Indigenous who are doing the crimes as well.
Yeah.
But we need to engage people. We need to engage the parents as well as the children. For the farmers, I've been talking to AgForce and GrowCorp, etc. They just want to farm. They don't want the red tape that's getting thrown at them time and time again. There's just so much red tape at present. They just want to grow their cattle, produce their crops, and get it to market. They're introducing, to sell a beast now, it used to be put it on a truck and sell it, whereas now it's nowhere near that. It's paperwork after paperwork, digital lodgement. I understand the necessity of it, but it really needs to be streamlined.
Obviously, employment or unemployment is the big issue around here. Have you any thoughts on what might be done to address some of the issues around that?
Unemployment here... Now, when I've done my apprenticeships, we actually went to a job and we stuck with it. We were taught in-house, you done your block of TAFE and away you went. Nowadays, though, what's happening is you're getting apprenticeship companies who are buying apprentices and getting kickbacks from the government. Now, it's very rare for an apprentice to actually see his way through from start to finish in one business. Now, we've got to somehow get back to having a mentor in a business for apprentices. If we verge away from that to what we've got now, we're a factory producing kids who are not prepared to spend 4 years in one situation. There's a few out there. There are kids out there who want to. But kids are coming into apprenticeships, not liking what they're doing, and then just getting out. So we really need to filter that situation off. The other one that I personally experienced 15, 20 years ago is startup businesses. Now, I went out by myself and started up a business and then looked for a grant to help me get on my feet, only to find out that the regulations, and I believe they're still current, the regulations actually told me that I couldn't start the business before I got the grant. I had to get the grant to start the business. So, needless to say, that set me back probably 3 to 4 years in that business. So, we need to be able to fund startup businesses and research and development grants as well for startup businesses. There's a lot of ideas out there. A lot of people have got a lot of ideas for little tiny workshops that need 2 or 3 people, but they just haven't got the financial capital to actually start that.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. Are you born in Manova? You come from somewhere else? Or?
No, I actually grew up in St. George in southwest Queensland.
Oh, yeah.
In the Maranoa, Warrego area.
My old stamping ground.
Oh, well, there you go. Grew up on a farm called Mulga View, so pretty familiar with the tree clearing and fodder issues available that are pretty topical at present with Mulga. That was a mixed farming enterprise with cattle, sheep and broadacre farming.
Mm-hmm.
After leaving school, I went and managed another business for a while, started from the bottom and went up as far as what I could progress there. Moved back to irrigated cotton farm. It was actually a mixed farm as well, and I managed all the irrigation.
Mm-hmm.
Moved over to Ipswich, completed my trades, multiple trades, and managed workshops in Brisbane. Father ended up getting cancer, so I had to move back to the family farm where I took over the management of the entire situation. The farm had to be dissolved because of Dad's ill health, and that's when I started up businesses in the town of St. George in communications and computers and communications. So I built that up for about 10 years, I think it was, and sold that. More or less retired to Hervey Bay, and then thought I'd better get back into engineering, and 5 years ago I came to Mount Isa for a 5-week shutdown, and I'm still here now 5.5 years later.
You with the mines?
Yeah, I came for a shutdown at the mines.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty happy. I do like the place. I do.
Okay.
I won't say it feels 100% like home, but it is a place that I couldn't make home.
Yeah. And you were just telling me before I started taping you about your ambitions in terms of federal v. state, and you were telling me something about a leg injury. Do you want to just explain to me what that was about?
Yeah, ironically, I'm sitting here with my leg in a... it's not right here.
Yeah, that's all right.
I'm sitting here with my leg in a pretty serious brace. I actually broke three of the ligaments and tendons in my knee back in July. Now, not having private health insurance, I've obviously gone through the public health system. Now, I'm in no way criticising the staff members or the treatment that was available, but ultimately I was referred to Townsville. Now, I flew to Townsville last week to find out that through the system, because it's not integrated, the MRIs and the report for the MRI hasn't been forwarded on through the public health system. It's here and available at Mount Isa, but we need to integrate the public health system for that reason. Now, ironically, on that plane, unbeknownst to me, well, one fellow who I was sitting beside had the same knee brace on the opposite leg. Now, he was flying over to see the same surgeon, and I did notice three other passengers on that plane was flying over for the same reason. Would it not be a lot cheaper to fly an orthopod out to here rather than our four airfares? That's what I'm assuming, four airfares. There's obviously more. I didn't think this till I've sat down and thought about it. That to fly an orthopaedic surgeon to Mount Isa would be far cheaper for the government and for everybody concerned. Recovery times, if I'm to have the operation in Townsville, I'm up for at least a week's accommodation. I understand after 4 days it's then covered by the transport, but to be able to have the operation locally, and then if he flies out a week after for follow-ups, it's got to be cheaper for the government and for the people as well.
Okay. So you will be campaigning then on health issues then? I mean, health is a state issue. Yeah.
The biggest issues for me is, you can't say the biggest issues, but mental health is pretty well up there with me.
Yeah.
We've got a wonderful mental health system here, but doesn't have any beds.
Mm-hmm.
So we need some beds for the high-end mental health issues, the borderline personality disorders, the schizophrenia, what's the other one called? I can't forget the name of it, but the high end mental illnesses. People who have them, they know when they need time out. And currently, if they present themselves, we've only got acute mental health here. So if they're bordering on suicidal, then they're held in town. If they're assessed and they need to be institutionalised, they're then flown unaccompanied to Townsville or Mackay or Cairns. So we need to look into just a couple of, I'm going to call them quiet rooms,
mm-hmm.
so that people who are in need of just a short time out, 2 or 3 day time out, that they've got that available to them.
I seem to recall you were at the recent FIFO inquiry here in Mount Isa that you gave testimony to that. Is that another issue that you'll be, you think that more could be done there?
The bill has gone through on that. Mm-hmm. Now, I was the only person who tried to throw an amendment at that bill that I'm aware of. I know I was the only person in Mount Isa who tried to amend that bill. The bill as it stands, I'm still 6 to 1, half a dozen the other, but the bill as it stands, as I make point at that committee hearing, is that if the job's advertised locally and doesn't get filled, they are still able to fly in, fly out workers. Now, I congratulate what the Cloncurry mines have done, is that everyone's on the same wage, but your salary sacrifice your flights. That is a fair, that's a level playing field for everybody involved. Being an ex-fly in, fly out worker, I understand that because I work local, now I was on X amount of dollars per week. Now the person who worked beside me doing exactly the same job was on X amount per week plus flights. So they were getting a good $600 to $700 a fortnight better than what I was. And that's what causes rift in men. In the workforce, that causes a major rift.
Okay.
Now, you're more or less getting penalised for living low. Now, what Cloncurry has done, or the mines in the Cloncurry area, is you're all on the same wage, but if you want to fly out, we'll pay your flights. Yes, there's salary sacrifice, that's okay, but you're still physically bringing home, so there is major incentive to actually move locally.
This is obviously, Traeger is obviously a massive electorate. How are you going to deal with that? Are you planning to get around it?
The amazing part about this electorate, and I love driving. I absolutely adore driving. I'm fortunate enough, I'm a single bloke. I have no commitments other than to my electorate.
Okay.
So I am the type of person who, I'm a firm believer that you have to be on the ground to know what's happening.
Yeah.
You don't know what the ground looks like from 30,000 foot in the air. So yes, it's very convenient to fly from Mount Isa to Normanton. It's very convenient that to fly from here to Charters. But if you fly from here to Charters Towers, you've got no idea how much green grass is on the side of the road at Richmond. You don't know.
Yeah.
It takes you away from being able to pull in and see somebody at Richmond.
Yeah.
It takes the ability to at Hewerton or along the journey. So I've got no commitments other than my lawn needs mowing once a week, so I don't have an issue with being on the road at all. That's not something our current, well, the incumbent at present did make it public record that, you know, the electorate was too big. I disagree with that firmly, is that to service an electorate you've got to be out there and meet the people. You just have to be with the people. You can't dictate to people. You've got to be there, you've got to listen to them.
Okay. And obviously when you go out there on the road and people will probably ask you, well, why should I vote for you? Well, what will your answer be to those people?
Vote for me. The reason to vote for me is because I am you. I work a 50-hour week as a boilermaker. I don't own a house. I'm a local bloke. I'm a renter. I rent the house. So I've probably paid for somebody else's house twice now. But I'm lucky enough, I'm in a share house situation, so the third year apprentice who is flat out making $500 a week, I'm subsidising his board more or less. He doesn't pay 50%, but he pays enough to make it practical. He can't afford, as a third year apprentice, he couldn't afford to rent a house in town here. I come from the land, I've grown up in the land. I've done my time in trades, I've done my time as a business owner, and I've done my time on farms. So I represent 95% of this community. I believe I represent 95% of this level.
Mm-hmm. Well, a question though, is there anything else, any other messages you want to get out there before we wrap it up?
No.
Thank you very much.
I'll